The recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. My name is Jordan Carter from .nz, humble rapporteur of Work Party One and the CCWG on enhancing ICANN accountability. Welcome to meeting number 27 of this group, the 8th of October, 2015, 0500 hours. The agenda for our call tonight is in front of us, and the first item is the agenda review. I have to give notice that we're going to need to have the possible extra meeting that I described on the emails that have led up to today's call. The reason for that is quite simply that the updated public comment analysis on the budget matters, scheduled for 3C today, and on the inclusion of the affirmation of commitments into the bylaws are simply not going to be able to be done today because the documentation hasn't been completed. I know that you all realize that we're working at a rather mad pace, and one of the consequences of mad paces is that they don't quite get met. So we can still meet our overall deadline, but we're going to need to have another call on Friday. So I apologize to those of you for whom that is bad news, and I celebrate with those of you who find it good news. It does mean that we won't be discussing the budget power on this call. So, Shireen, I know in particular you focused on that. If you were hoping to speak about it today only, if that was all you were going to plan to do, you've got a break, an unanticipated 2 hours free. I'll start, though, with are there any other adjustments to the agenda? The plan is to move through the community forum comments, summary led by Matthew, and then the community mechanism and single member comments from Avery and Robin. And I think both. I think the second of those will be a very long discussion if we let it, and that may also spill over into another call. But we will hold over some time to look through the second draft of the individual director removal. I know that Mike has provided us with a document on that. I'm uncertain whether Keith Drazak has given us updated documents, if there were any, on the fundamental and regular bylaws. But we'll come to those. We can do those. And then any other work. So if anyone has noticed any gaps, any comments that haven't been analyzed that should have been, that's what that budget item, that the agenda item number four is for. So are people happy with that agenda as it is, or is anything missing? Please raise your hand now if something is missing. And if you remember during the call something is missing, we will do an any other business call in the last few minutes of the call. So you can raise it there, and it can be on the agenda for the next meeting. See no hands up, so let's get straight into it. And I'd like to invite Matthew Shears to take us through his note on the community forum, a three-page document that was circulated in the format of Google Docs. Staff, I expect that you've got that to put on the screen. If that's not the case, let me know and I can flick you a quick PDF through the Skype channel. Up, there we go. Okay, so Matthew, the floor is yours. Please go ahead. Please keep it reasonably tight in terms of the timing of the introductory remarks, so we have as much time as possible for a discussion of your conclusions. Thanks.
Yes, thanks, Jordan. Can you hear me all right? Because I've got a relatively limited bandwidth here. Is that? Can you hear me?
You're lo-fi, but you're okay, audible clearly.
Okay. Okay, so the document that you see before you is not actually a document that I just circulated to the lists, which is a PDF entitled Community Forum WP1, which is a PDF of the Google Doc. What you're seeing on the screen at the moment is actually the first cut at assessing the or looking at the various elements that were in the public comment tool. So I'm not sure if staff have received that and can put that up, but let me just make a couple of general comments, and hopefully that will be available to put up. So what we did in this process is we looked at not only the community forum HPC tool, but we also looked at the Google Doc that we had, the working party had been working on. The also, it's from the transcripts in the LA meeting. I went through the transcripts. I wasn't at the LA meeting, but we've incorporated those as much as possible. And also the input from the lists on the emails. So I think that the key point is that overall there is a substantial support for the purpose and function of the forum as it was described going into the public consultation version 2. So basically the encouraging discussion and sharing of information prior to exercising community power, and also its place in the petition discussion decision process that was outlined in therein. But one of the key comments that was made also that we needed to really highlight the open, transparent, multi-stakeholder nature of the forum as being a key element in the community mechanism. There was also general support for a forum that was open to broader participation, and that the processes should be open and transparent, and the output should be documented. There were, however, as you well know, significant number of comments of areas that needed refinement. I've kind of broken those down on the document that you don't see in front of you into a set of subheaders, and I'll just go through those. They're kind of in order of how the forum would be set up or work. So I cover off triggers, permanency, periodicity, composition and representation, standing, outcomes, what would happen with contradictory outputs, what about moderation, timescales, costs, relationship to decision-making, and relationship to proposal for a public accountability forum. So one of the questions that a couple of commenters asked for was how the community forum would be initiated and what the triggers were. We haven't really dealt with that or addressed that, although there was some discussion from LA on what that might be, particularly in one of the breakout sessions. A number of comments questioned whether or not the forum should be a permanent or on an ad hoc basis. Perhaps one of the most useful comments was that it should be a standing panel but called on an as-necessary basis. There were questions about periodicity, in other words, when would this occur, should it occur alongside ICANN meetings? But a number of commenters also suggested that there would be need for ad hoc meetings and there should be virtual sessions between physical face-to-face forum meetings. And there were concerns about the complexity, given the complexity of some of the issues. Yeah. So now you have that document. You can go down to number 3. That's where I am at the moment. So there were questions about how long these sessions should take and how many of them would there be, given that there are differences in complexity of the powers and how they would be exercised. On composition and representation, many questions about whether or not the individuals who would be in the forum would be chosen from a slate of candidates or selected by the SOs, ACs, or both. There were issues about term limits, whether or not there would be a form of NOMCOM. There were other questions that related to whether or not the forum would have access to legal counsel and whether a CCWG. And somebody, probably rightfully so, said that we shouldn't be talking about membership of the forum. There was comments also about whether or not the forum would be on a kind of voluntary or used on a voluntary or mandatory basis. As you go down, if you have scroll control, you can go to 5. A number of the commenters, and I think this was probably one of the most interesting questions, was whether or not the forum should have any standing in terms of any outputs and whether or not the forum should be a mandatory part of exercising community powers. I'm not sure that we actually got to that point in the proposal itself, but it's certainly something that merits further discussion. On the outcomes, would there be outcomes? Particularly one of the questions was asked a number of times, and whether or not those outcomes would have to be taken into account or accounted for in some way when it came to exercising the decision-making, taking part of exercising the powers. there were concerns about contradictory inputs, so and how they would be taken into account. So if there were clearly divergent views within the forum, what would be the implications of those if the outcomes or outputs of the forum were to have any kind of standing? There was a suggestion or questions that the forum would need to be moderated by a neutral panel or person, and to make sure that views were heard and to ensure that the forum didn't become just a place for airing views and not necessarily finding a way, a common point, common consensus, or a point of the ability to move forward on a particular issue that was under discussion. A couple of concerns also raised about the timescales. There was, I think, a general concern raised about the overall discussion and decision, but the forum, I think it comes back to the issue of the complexity of the issues that might be under discussion as to whether or not some of them would take greater time to resolve or to address and how many meetings it would take to air those concerns or challenges. Commenters queried whether the forum would need funding and what the size of representation would be and what could be reasonably expected of ICANN if funding were to be provided. And again, what's the questions related to what's the relationship between the forum and the SMCM, the community mechanism decision making? In what way do findings, if we're having findings or outcomes from the forum, impact or contribute to that decision making? But there were no suggestions, explicit suggestions made as to how that might occur, but it was certainly raised as a concern. And then finally, a couple of questions, one or two raised as to what the relationship was with the Public Accountability Forum, which was a proposal by, I think if I remember correctly, Willie Curry, one of the advisors, and whether or not it would be the same thing or whether or not they would be separate, given the possible length and complexity of the issues being discussed in the community forum itself. John, shall I just keep going and then we can come to questions at the end? Is that all right?
Yes, that's the right approach, Matthew. Sorry, I was trying to get myself off mute.
So I think it's fair to say that there were few areas of divergence. Probably the biggest one and the one that came up certainly from the discussion in LA was really what kind of role should the forum have in the decisions or outcomes, and what role should it play if it's going to be more than just a discussion forum? So there are a couple of, I think, options for the CCWG to consider and to take into account, possibly in a rewrite of the community forum part of the proposal. One of the interesting things was the first one relates to the role and function. One of the interesting things that came out of the transcript in for LA was the model that was proposed during the breakout sessions on day two, where I believe it was Steve who was worked a breakout group through how the powers would work. And there was a proposal that the community forum could actually be used as a tool for achieving consensus amongst the SOs and ACs on the exercise of a particular power, if I've interpreted that correctly. So what I've done in the paper there is extract that particular paragraph or two from the transcript explaining that this was taken in the context of an objection to a bylaws change, but it describes the sense of whether or not the forum could be used as a place to achieve consensus on a particular power, on the use of a particular power. So I think that's an interesting approach for the forum to for the working group to consider. It did not really come up much at all as a mechanism for finding things in the comments or elsewhere. So I think it would be different formed than I perhaps anticipated. And the only comment that I think that I make there in the parentheses is that it seems that, you know, the original role of the forum as a discussion and information sharing space is being supplanted by a tool for building consensus. Probably somewhere there probably still is a need for a discussion and information phase for building that kind of understanding and sharing information between ESOs and EACs and other parties in the forum itself. So it's just a consideration. With regards to this, to is it standing or ad hoc, if the forum is triggered by the results of a petition and a degree of support for a particular issue or challenge, we're probably going to have to recognize that these could arise at any particular time, and that kind of ad hoc nature of the challenges might suggest that some kind of standing committee that forms when it's called upon is probably a wise approach. And this also led me to wondering whether or not we might face a situation where there might be multiple challenges or multiple processes ongoing, hopefully not certainly, but could that arise, that there could be some ongoing at the same time. The composition representation issue is a tricky one. I stakeholder, but considering some of the other questions about representation and composition and the role of the ESOs and the EACs therein and the number of representatives, et cetera, it might make sense for us to model the forum committee or whatever we're going to call it on a working group model, a cross-community working group model. But I think we'd probably have to consider that more. That would allow us to talk and review representation terms, appointments, and things like that to be taken care of in the charter for the CCWG, if that's the way that we were to go. In terms of the forum, obviously one of the ways to use the forum is to achieve consensus, which was a model that was explored in NA. Otherwise, I think it's difficult to imagine how the outcomes of the forum could be weighted to have a role in the actual decision taking of the petition discussion process. So I think that we may have an option, we may have a choice, which would be to consider it as a tool for reaching consensus or to consider it in the form that it was originally considered, which was for it to be a discussion and information tool. And then moderation outcomes, I think it is reasonable to think that we might need some kind of neutral moderation given the complexity of the issues, and also the need to ensure a documentation. And on timescales, it may well be something that we might want to leave to the discretion of the forum committee or working group or whatever the structure might be, given that different issues may take longer to resolve and address. So I hope that came across relatively clearly. That's all at the moment. Thank you.
Thanks, Matthew. Are you happy to serve as the moderator of this discussion and manage the queue?
Sure. Thanks, Jordan. So I'm assuming I see that we have Greg and Tijani in the queue. So
you've also got me in the queue. So I was wondering if I could go first, since I was first with my hand up. thanks. Thank you for that summary, Matthew. I'm worried a little bit. I think that we've got a massive and amazing capacity in this very interesting community to complicate things that don't need to be complicated at times. And to me, it feels like this is one of those times. The insight behind having a forum of this sort was not to create a place that would become an institutionalized, bureaucratized, representationized group of people making decisions about stuff or having some kind of imprimatur to express their view at the community about a particular thing. The original design, which I think was represented okay in the proposal, brief as it was to write an open forum for discussion of a proposed exercise of a community power before that consensus building process happened within the SOs ACs. In other words, before the SOs and ACs started making their decision. And that model is very valuable for a number of reasons. It doesn't create any obligations. It doesn't require any complicated accountability backstop to the participation or the decisions that it makes or the reporting or the recording. I think that Jorge's suggestion of describing or thinking about this as a process, as part of the dialogue, is important. My fear is that if we turn it into a month-long set of meetings that have to be run through every time a community power is considered, we're making all of the accountability powers that we've proposed fundamentally irrelevant and inoperable. And so my perspective as a participant is that this has to stay light. The only reason to have any kind of representativity in it is to make sure that the perspectives being aired in it come from around and across the ICANN community. And I'm sure we'll get that because of the requirement we've said that there'll be an open forum that anyone can watch and participate in, just like the CCWG. So the only point of having any representativity is to make sure the voices are in the room. And the further we go down the idea of documenting or trying to have multiple discussions to come to consensus, I just strongly oppose that direction of development for this as a participant. That doesn't change the fact that if that's a consensus we come to, I'll rapporteur it faithfully, but I just wanted to put my view out there. Thanks.
Yes, thanks, Jordan. I personally agree with you that that is what we should be for. So thanks for that. Next, we have Greg.
Greg, you may be on mute or asleep, but we definitely can't hear you on the audio line.
I think I fat-fingered my mute button. As I was saying to myself, I agree with a lot of the things that Jordan said. As long as we keep the decision-making process the same as we have in the second draft, I think that the forum needs to be lightweight, convened through online and telephonic methodologies, and not turned into some sort of traveling tent party. That would be far too cumbersome. And I think, however, if we change to a consensus-driven approach, which I assume requires some deliberation in order to come to consensus, then I think the community forum either morphs into a consensus-building place, which is really not the community forum anymore. It's really something different. Or maybe it exists as a separate place, kind of like the public forum, so the broadest views can be expressed, or maybe it falls away entirely. That's probably not necessary to discuss under the community forum heading, but rather in our discussion of how the community will make its decisions, whatever package the community is in, members, designators, huddled masses yearning to breathe free, in our particular design, the community forum forms a particular purpose, which I think we need to preserve. Thanks.
Thanks. Perhaps, you know, having not been in LA, perhaps I've given too much prominence to the discussion around the consensus and using that as a model, and clearly read that the preferences for the model, as Jordan and yourself have outlined, that certainly is my preference as well. I was just trying to capture what the diversity of views that had been expressed. So, but thanks for that. Dujani?
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone.
Gianni, we've lost your audio just after you saying good morning.
Yeah. Do you hear me now? Hello? Do you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So I said that I agree with a lot of things that Jordan said. I want to remind you that the forum is a mandatory loop. It will be, as you said, and as everyone said, it will be a place for discussion, for exchange of views. But discussion and exchange of views means influence each other. So it will be not a consensus place. It will be a preparation for perhaps something to come to closure, if you want. We all agree that it is not a decision-making body. We want it to be simple, yes, not complicated, yes, but not complicated doesn't mean not well organized. So why we spoke about appointing members? It is because we want it to exist at least, because if there is no members, perhaps nobody will come, and it will be a problem because we put it in our proposal that there is three phases. In our process, first the petition, second the discussion, and third the decision. So the discussion is mandatory, and the forum is mandatory. Jordan said no obligation. Yes, no obligation, but do you mean that no obligation if nobody comes to the forum? It is mandatory in our process, in our loop. So, in my point of view, we have to stress the fact that this is mandatory, and the forum has to meet virtually or face to face. It is another issue, but it has to meet before going to the decision making. Thank you.
Gianni, thank you very much. I think one of the questions that was asked was whether or not the fourth should be a mandatory part of the discussion decision making process, and whether or not participation should be mandatory. I think that the predominance of comments showed that participation should not be mandatory. But thank you for that comment. Is there anybody else on the Adobe or on the phone line who would like to comment? Is there anything in this? And I would like to also just comment to Jorge, who did put together the initial listing of the various comments on the community forum in the PC tool. And what I had tried to do was to capture that diversity of comments and put those in the areas needing refinement. So thank you, Jorge, for that initial work. And again, apologies for not getting this document back to everyone earlier for further discussion. What's come across, Alan, so please go ahead. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just getting mixed signals here. the concept of mandatory, but we're not actually saying who goes there and what happens if someone doesn't show up. I'm not quite sure how one makes this work. Thank you.
I completely understand. The issue was whether or not it should be a mandatory part of the process. As to whether or not people should turn up, I think was a different question. Insofar as we see it as a part of that process, should be part. It probably should be. It would be a necessary thing if the petition or the triggering requires it. But again, I think we have to probably look at what the triggering mechanisms are for the community forum. We'll go back and look at the proposal again to see if that needs elaborated at all. The point of whether or not it's a body or we still have to resolve the issue of how it's called and what. Whether it's a standing entity and how it's actually put into place and brought into being, but I completely agree that it should not be complicated and it should not be something that increases the complexity of the model. Any other comments or thoughts?
It looks like Tijani's
trying to talk.
Yep, Tijani, yes, sorry.
Yes, thank you. I would like to say that if the forum is not mandatory, if the discussion is not mandatory, several things will change. For example, my community said we can live with the individual board member recall proposed only if the forum is mandatory, because if the SO or SC who want to recall the director will not come to the forum and explain why, we will not accept it at all. So the forum is mandatory to exercise this power for us. Thank you.
Understood. Thank you, Tijani. Jordan, would you...
Well, thank you, Matthew, for taking us through that, and thank you to you and to Jorge for doing the preparation here. Look, what I heard in the comments and in the discussion is an understanding that the dialogue process comes first here, that we're not trying to turn this into the consensus-making body that would be required to make decisions under whatever model we end up choosing. And I think so that the real key thing to get the CCWG to focus on in Dublin is whether we stick with that light model or whether we do something else. I haven't heard anyone suggest that we make that dialogue process as part of exercising any of the community powers optional. So I think we can take that worry off the table, Tijani. But I think, I don't know what people are meaning by mandatory in a different sense, but I know that's not it. And so I think we can probably, if people agree with me that that is the key thing that needs to be sorted out, then we can draw the CCWG's attention primarily to that and mention some of the others. Another thing that I wonder whether it might be useful is just in terms of, because we're going to have to redraft the report after Dublin, right? So it may be helpful to start working on answering all these questions in a way that is in line with keeping it lightweight as something to have in our back pocket after Dublin, unless there's a sudden turnabout. So thank you for that one. And keep thinking about it, folks. Look at it in the list. Add any comments on the Google Doc, whatever, and we'll get there on this. The only other thing I was going to suggest, and this document didn't have that problem, so I'll save it for the next one. The next one is now. We're on to item 2B of our agenda, the community mechanism as sole member part of the report. There's a document that's been prepared by a cast of characters, and I believe that Avery was instrumental in doing it. Who is presenting that, Avery and Robin? You guys certainly started pulling this together. Have you agreed who's gonna do that? And while you let us know about that, staff, could you? Oh, we're all on scroll control. You don't need to reread what's in the proposal, so you can automatically skip the first two pages of that PDF. And you might want to have it on the top of page 3 of the PDF ready to go. Robin, I will hand the floor over to you for a quick tour. Just before I do, I know there's I feel a bit of frustration myself about wanting to actually debate the merits of this model and the MEM. And I'm sure that others of you may feel that. I think it's really important that we remember that this call is not the time to do that. The task we have to do is to make sure that we've analyzed the public comments that came in and drawn out where the areas of concern are, what needs clarifying, and what the concern and divergence is, and get people focused on what we need to discuss in Dublin. So that's the job here. If we turn it into a debate about the merits or otherwise, and they will come up, but if that's the primary focus, we'll get there. If we turn the primary focus of this conversation into an argument about which one is better, we're going to be here all night. So that's my plea at the start, to consider your interventions in that light of making sure the comments have been registered and taken into account and the analysis that's presented here is correct. Robin, over to you.
Thanks. This is Robin Gross. Can you hear me okay?
Quite quietly. If you're able to move a mic closer to your mouth, that would be great. But we can hear you. The audio is working.
Okay. It's pretty late here. I'll wake up the house too much. Okay. So let me go through this. Some of the highlights here. So the analysis of the public comments on the model that was selected in the second draft proposal, the member model that we received back on that, and the including the conversations in LA and subsequent to that. So we had about 51 public commenters that raised this issue. 48% of the commenters raised concerns with the model. So that's about half. That's noteworthy. 38% of the commenters said they agreed with the model. Roughly 19% of the commenters said they disagreed with the model. And 66 of those in divergence were concerned with the voting structure we had set out earlier. 15% of our commenters were neutral. 10% of our commenters expressed a preference for the designator model. Another 13% expressed a preference for...
Robin, someone, just sorry to interrupt you, but first of all, either there's a clicking or clanging noise on your line or someone else has an open line. Secondly, there are a number of people commenting in the chat that they can't hear you. So my first request is for everyone else to really solidly make sure that you're muted. The second thing is, Robin, if you can do anything to hold that mic up to your mouth, that would be great. Thanks.
Well, I'm yelling into my computer now, so maybe I should call back on a phone line. That's the only thing I can think of to get a better audio connection. It might take me a couple seconds to get back into the call if I'm calling on a landline.
You're fine now, right now.
Okay, well, let me keep going then, and I'll just hopefully my neighbors will forgive me. Okay, so there were some areas of consensus. There was support and appreciation for the enforceability of the community powers. There was agreement that the sole member model was an improvement from the first draft reference model, the SOAC membership model. The CWC stewardship group had confirmed that our powers were in conformance with their requirements. There was significant support for the principle of a community mechanism being used to enforce the community powers. There was consensus that we should be as restrained as possible in the degree or the structural or organizational changes that are required to create these powers. There was consensus to organize the mechanism along the same lines as the community, basically in lines with the compatible SOAC structures. And there was consensus about the importance of having an open community forum for the deliberation of the community power. That's where we were in widespread agreement. Now there are areas where there was calls for further clarification and refinement. So first would be the first details needed around surrounding the community forum, and we just went over a lot of that, thanks to Matthew. And a number of commenters said they couldn't support or in many cases even determine a position until more detail has been fleshed out, that we simply haven't provided enough information with what was in the second draft for many commenters to even be able to make a decision for or against. You know, there were more calls for simplicity in the model and its explanation, and there was some concern about the needing a minimum number of SOs and ACs to participate in the model for it to even work. Okay, and then there were a number of areas where there were concern and divergence. So there was lack of consensus on whether the community should take decisions through formal voting or if we should move to establish a consensus process for those decisions. There was also a lack of consensus on the voting allocations between SOs and the ACs. A number of comments expressed concern about dilution of authority and influence of the SO community, for example. Most commenters on this issue were expressing support for voting allocations along the lines of ICANN's existing board structure. There was also a lack of consensus on the composition of the community within the model, meaning the role of the advisory committee. There were a number of comments that indicated concern over a possible duality of the governmental role in the model, and comments expressing concern that providing votes to GAC would fail to meet NTIA requirements. There were also comments expressed over the extent of the changes required in ICANN's existing structure to create the model. As we know, there's a proposal from the board that enforceability for narrowed community powers could be provided for by binding arbitration to enforce fundamental bylaws that use that process instead of the community mechanism. Okay, so those are the areas of concern and divergence. And so we've got a few options to consider. And the first option to consider for the giant elephant.
Sorry, Robin, yes. It's Jordan here. Sorry, I would like to suggest that we deal with just a quick cue here to ask people whether in those three areas you've covered, the consensus areas, clarification areas, and concern divergence areas, whether there are any key points missing. So whether from other people's reading of the public comments, there are some missing bits, or whether they think it's a reasonable representation. If we can sort that out, then we can move on with the options bit and then the debate about the options.
Okay, sounds good. Let's see who we have in the queue here. I see Alan. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm just a bit confused about the percentages you have in the first section, because I don't know which are mutually exclusive from the others. The first three numbers, which I would have thought added up to 105%, and I don't know what 66% of those divergence mean. I don't know if it's 66% of what, of which number. So probably this isn't the right forum for you to revise those numbers, but if you can send us something with some real numbers so we can understand which... how these were.
Okay, well, let me just explain where how those numbers got there now, and maybe that'll help clear that up.
Okay.
So when the staff went through the public comment tool, they would note if there was a particular, if a comment raised a concern, they would put a one down in that box. And if there was a comment where somebody agreed, they would put a one down in that box. And so then they went and tallied that all up, all of the comments on this issue. And so that's where those numbers come from, directly from the public comment tool. And then your question about the 66% of the divergence concerned the voting structure, that is from those who disagreed with the model. That is 66% of those who disagreed with the model, I believe.
Thank you.
Okay, so was there anyone else who had any other questions on that, or Alan, did you have any more on that?
No, I was just trying to get clarity on that. Thank you.
Okay, it looks like Jordan's next.
Thanks, Robin. I just wanted to say on the record that I thought that the areas of consensus, the areas of needing clarification, and the areas of concern and divergence did match what I saw in the public comments. It seems like a fair representation to me. I think the numbers are reasonable, but maybe they're the bit that we might put afterwards. Depending on how people feel, I always like to read the comments out and count them.
Okay, so did anyone else have anything that they wanted to add on the areas of consensus, refinement, lack of consensus? Or should I just dive into the options? Okay, not seeing any more hands at the moment, I will dive into the options. So first is this, the overall question of, do we continue to evolve our sole member model, addressing the specific points of concern that have been raised in the public comment, and maintaining this, the membership model overall? That's one option, and I should note these options are not mutually exclusive. The second would be to explore how maximum legal enforcement can be achieved for our desired community powers under an empowered designator model, and then maybe we can compare, do a comparison of how far we can get with the different models. Another possibility, another option, is to decide which powers, if any, can be enforced under the MEM-based model, and if they are sufficient to meet community powers and other requirements. Since we're going at the MEM rather late in the process, as it's just come up rather late in the process, there's still a number of things that we would need to work through on that. For example, we would need to ascertain whether the community can enter into binding arbitration without personhood. We would need to ascertain whether the community has standing in court to bring a matter without personhood. We need to ascertain whether I can be bound by a binding arbitration if it declines to enter into it, or if it otherwise attempts to frustrate an arbitration process. We have to ascertain the level of personal or other possibly financial risk that community members might undertake if they try to exercise or enforce any of the community powers. We need to ascertain whether the M meets the CWG stewardship requirements, the NTIA requirements, and any other external requirements. And we need to ascertain whether the MEM meets all of our required stress tests. So there's a lot of work that would need to be done on that option. And then there are options for sub-issues within the model. We've talked in a number of these groups about possibly moving away from voting and towards the consensus model for decision-making for the purposes of the community forum. We need to consider an option of consensus definition depending upon the absence of recommendations or advice against. Oh, that would be treated. I think we need to reconsider voting allocations between the SOs and ACs to be more in line with the balance of appointments to the ICANN board, given the comments that we've received. I think we need to reconsider the role of the ACs in the model community forum. Should some of the ACs be non-voting non-decisional and rather advisory only. And this is also a very important option. We need to consider determining a fixed understanding of who, which SOs and which ACs will vote or otherwise make decisions in the community forum. Four decisions can be made by our group about which model to finally propose, since the two parts of that decision are interdependent. So I know I just threw a lot out there at folks to chew on, but we've got a lot of meat on the table. So let's just start taking the cue, and if anyone wants to weigh in on some of these options and express some preferences or suggestions about how to proceed, that'd be great.
Thanks, Robin. And to make this easier, if it's possible for you, Robin, would you mind giving your number to staff so they can phone you on the public phone network, and so your voice would be much clearer for any ongoing discussion? Are you okay with that? And in the meantime,
yeah,
I can.
No problem.
Okay. So I think the person, to do that to would be Brenda. If you could send Brenda a private chat with your phone number, she'll organize a call out to you ASAP. And in the meantime, I'll just take a query that was added in the chat. Rosemary asks in item 4 on the sub-issues things, consider determining a fixed understanding who will vote or otherwise make decisions in the community forum. Yes, that needs to not read community forum. It means in the mechanism. Okay, so I see others saying that there are lots of questions to be asked. While Robin's getting a dial out, I will just chair this to ask, are there other big questions or matters that the CCWG needs to discuss in relation to the model? We've got the basic question of the actual enforcement model, if you like, underpinning the debate that we need to resolve. We know we need to resolve that, and that's captured there with three kind of questions. We've got the decision approach, moving from voting towards consensus. We've got the relative weight of influence within the decision, and option for sub-issues number 2. We've got the participation or not in decisions by the various ACs and SOs. And we've got a kind of another question relating to that in number 4. So the first question I'd like to ask you is, are there any other big calls on this topic area that arise through the public comments or through the discussion in LA that we need to push back to the CCWG for decision in Dublin? It's quite a specific one. I can't think of any, I'll say that straight off, but I'm only one person and we're all multi-stakeholders here, as Fadi would say. Kavus, I'll take your contribution, your hand is up. And Kavus, we definitely cannot hear you. So if you are speaking, there is nearly silence. Okay. Well, when Kavus comes online through whatever means, that would be good. Quick fire responses to my question, people, would be helpful. Are there any other issues that we need to get the CCWG to focus on? Or are the main issues with this question all here? Saying yes or no would be helpful. We could try the ticks and crosses in the room, but that doesn't seem to work all that well. We could try multiple things at the same time, if you like. And you could just type in the chat whether you think the questions are covered. If you think there's a big gap, we need to identify it tonight. Another hand, hooray. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you. You said for decision in Dublin, I was hoping actually the CCWG could be considering some of these things before Dublin, but maybe we've run out of time on that. I would say if we're going to pose these questions to the CCWG, we have to give them, replace the percentages with some actual numbers of comments in each direction, because when you start taking 51 comments and then 19% of it and then 66% of that, you come down to pretty small numbers, and that's not reflected when you just look at the raw percentages. So I think we need to make sure that we're presenting the numbers so decisions can be made without hours of discussion. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I personally 100% agree with you. I think we should first of all prioritize, and I hope we'll do this at the CCWG call next week, assuming there is one, which of these set of issues that have bubbled up from across this public comment review do need to be dealt with at Dublin in the extended amount of time that we're going to have there, and which of them can be resolved by the working parties preparing a kind of central proposal for the CCWG to agree with or send back. That's the working methodology I think is going to make most sense. But yeah, we're not going to have 85 decisions to bake in Dublin and suddenly make them. You're quite right.
Well, but the point I was making is to the extent we do have decisions, we have to make sure to present simple cases and not things that require deep analysis.
Yeah, I concur with you. I hope we all do. Cavus, your hand is up still. Do you have audio and would like to add your contribution here?
Yes, my hand is up again, but it's not again. It was up to talk, but the line was disconnected. So please don't refer me as my hand is again. It is only one time that I asked for the floor during this session.
Yep. Yep.
Can you be fair with me, please?
Yes, I understand and agree with you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Don't interrupt me when I am speaking. Please do not interrupt me when I am speaking. And that would be very, very kind of you. I have serious problem with the voting approach. Serious difficulty because of a reason that I have given. TAC do not participate in the voting. One of the SO may not participate. It remains T out of 7. Then you go to any threshold, you will come up that out of 29 votes currently weighted, maybe only 10 will be able to change the fundamental bylaw, and that is not correct. And second, voting means that you provide power to some of the advisory committee that currently they don't have any decision-making power, and that is why I can refer to as change of the balance between the private sectors and government in their notes. I am not in favor of either proposals, but we have to address this issue. Why not we go to the consensus, and we don't need to describe what the consensus means. Consensus has a procedure in every SO and AC, the people, they do it. Even outside that, for instance, IETF has its own consensus. GNSO has its own consensus. Why not we go to the consensus? Is there any difficulty that we get right of the voting? Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus, for that intervention. For myself, I would just take liberty to add that there are only two reasons why you would need, quote-unquote, voting. One reason is if you give different levels of influence to different decision-makers. So if you in our current proposal, we did. So that was one reason we needed voting. The other reason is if you want to allow each decision maker to split its decision. So if you want to let, say, the CCNSO cast most of its support on one side of the decision but recognize a minority view on another. Those are the only two ways we do it. So if we don't need either of those, then we can move to a consensus model, by which I assume you mean each SO or AC makes a decision internally according to its processes and says what it is,
and if everyone is in line with the decision, then the power gets exercised. So that is option for sub-issues, number one. That question is on the table here for resolution, so it has been successfully raised. Avery, you're next on the queue.
Thank you. Avery speaking. Hopefully I can be heard. The first thing I wanted to say was just certainly we can add the absolute numbers in, and that provides a good check on the percentages given. And yes, it did show those things like 66% maybe in two answers out of three. So certainly, you know, I just wanted to say that in the next pass following this, you know, it makes sense to put the numbers in. Not to get into any of the issues, I think it's important that we're going to have to make a decision of what path we want to go down. I certainly, you know, I support the position that Caruso took on let's look at replacing consensus, replacing voting with consensus, and in fact have discussed that on the list. And I think to answer, whose question was it? Jonathan, that in defining consensus, we would actually have to define. You know, Jordan just presented the case of you know, unanimity of full consensus. You know, perhaps we would want to discuss some other models of consensus, you know, that don't include voting, but like we've sort of done in the CCWG is how many objections, you know, is it one objection's enough to stop something, you know, then that looks like a veto, or is it two? Now, yes, you're counting and such, but it's not people have to vote. It's just you have to feel strong enough to object. But in any case, that is a secondary question that has to sort of be looked at after we decide, I think, what path we're going down. I think it's very difficult, but it could be done, that we go down all three paths and see where we get to. But I don't know that that leads us to making decisions anytime soon. So I think we're going to have to deal with, you know, understanding, maybe that's what the elephant is which of these paths are we going down? What are we exploring? Are we exploring the fixing of the model that was submitted for comment? Or are we moving to one of two other different models and exploring those? So I think that's the other thing I wanted to bring up. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. The next person with their hand up is Alan. Alan, your hand. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. A couple of very quick comments. And we're getting dangerously into debating the issues, but I'm going to go ahead anyway.
I was going to say, if you can resist, do. Because I'll have to cut off the debate if we just descend totally into debate.
I will just raise some issues that we need to decide if we're going to go down the path that Caruso was talking about. Number one, I have no problem at all about each AC and SO making decisions according to their own process by consensus or whatever their own rules are and coming out with a yes-no. We decided earlier that we would allow fractional votes. I don't mind reversing that. Other people might, but anyway. But that doesn't answer the issue of once each AC and SO has come to a conclusion, how do we meld them together and decide whether the community has made a decision or not? Do we need unanimity? Is one objection from one AC and SO enough to kill it? That part is not clear, because we do not have right now any mechanism that we already use to establish consensus among the community. So that's the elephant in the room on that perspective. The other thing I wanted to mention is Caruso said something about, you know, right now ACs don't have decision-making capability, they only advise. Well, SOs don't have decision-making capabilities either, they only recommend. The board is the only group right now that has any decision-making
any decision-making capability. So we are going down a new path, regardless of what details we end up with. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. The next person with their hand up is Greg. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks. It's Greg Schatten, for the record. I think Aubrey and Alan said a lot of what I wanted to say, but a couple of other points. Clearly, I think one of the reasons that we're discussing consensus or this thing that we're currently calling consensus is that, the concerns that were raised about essentially disenfranchising or leaving out sectors of the community in the voting model, because it seemed that not all SOs and ACs would kind of sign up to vote in the single member, and then therefore they would just be kind of left out. And the best that they could do would be to kind of make their views known in the community forum. That didn't seem to be sufficient. So exploring a methodology by which no one is left out, I think, is the essential nature of the task that we're going at. That said, the idea that each group would come to a decision by whatever methodology it comes to that decision, which is some form of consensus, typically, among all the SOs and ACs. I assume that's the case. But each one has their own personal definition of consensus, and they use it, although, frankly, the GNSO Council, if that's the decision-making body, does not operate by consensus. It operates by a voting structure. But in each case, each of the SOs and ACs would issue forth something that was either a yes or an advice in favor of or an advice against, and then we would tote those up. And you have to deal with abstentions, of course. The question is either, do we require unanimity? What about abstentions? What about noisy abstentions? In other words, people saying that they're participating in the process, but they abstain from the voting. If we say it's unanimous, then, of course, a single holdout can stop everything from happening. And if we don't deal with consensus, then we have the issue of how strongly we worry about whether there should be a minority view when issuing the issue of community power. So I don't think what we're talking about really can be called consensus per se, because we're coming up with decisions from each group and ultimately counting noses in some fashion. So I think calling it consensus, we either have unanimity or we have something where there's some who are not agreeing with the rest. But unless we're going to engage in a consensus-building process among the communities, I wouldn't really call it consensus at all. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. As I said, and as we've all acknowledged, the temptation is strong, the power is strong to wish to get into the debate. A few issues that have been teased out already in the discussion do add some points that need to be teased out. Shireen put a big block of text into the chat before that needs to be taken into account under number 3 in the giant elephant in the room section. I really strongly hope that we can keep the discussion and the 3 people on the list back to the issue of either other key items that need to be determined here. So back to the speaking list. Shireen, the floor is yours.
Jordan, thank you. I don't want to add more to what you said. I've put in the chat what I think, in my view, the list of items that need to be covered. So I would appreciate if those are in the comments and in the papers themselves. Thank you.
Thanks, Shireen. There's at least an interim point. I'm going to add a comment in the Google Doc on those ascertain moments that has that block of text from you, so that we just make sure that it's there in the record and being worked on in the Google Doc. So I've done that now.
Thanks.
Thank you. Tijani, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
We can't hear you, Tijani.
You don't hear me now?
Now we do.
You hear me? Okay, thank you. Thank you. So I repeat, I am also for consensus against voting. And I think there is several kind of consensus. For some powers, we need full consensus, means one objection will kill the petition. For others, we may have other kind of consensus, such as two objections or three objections, extra. So it is possible to do everything with consensus, in my point of view, because consensus will include everyone. And what we have to discuss, yes, we have to discuss very deeply the issue of abstention if we go with consensus, because there is a lot of options in this case, and I think that it must be discussed very deeply. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Okay. So I'm going to make a last call on my question, which you may think is a bit obsessive, which is whether there are any other major items. This isn't the end of the road. If you come up with another major item that needs to be dealt with here in terms of CCWG on these questions, you can raise it on the email list. Wonderful tool, email. On that basis, having talked through the analysis of the public comments, having agreed, I think, in the call that we've got the areas of consensus, disagreement, and clarification, and having agreed what the key points that need to be resolved are, my initial thinking is that we're done with this agenda item. So I'd invite any other views about anything else we need to do for this public comment analysis of the CNSM topic, if there are any. I can't see how we progress that analysis any further in this call. And I think we need to make sure, so this discussion about how to decide what consensus is, you know, to me, I'm not even going to say what I think. It's not the right time. So an invitation then for any other points that needs to be raised is a standing one on the list. Otherwise, we'll move on to our next agenda item. And the next agenda item is item 3, review of previous discussion where required. Now, I'd like to remind you that in respect of the budget item that was on the agenda 3C, we're going to move that to our next call, which we now have to have on the 9th of October. Jonathan Zuck is working on that. In terms of the individual director removal, in terms of 3A, fundamental and regular bylaws, I apologize if I've missed it, but I haven't seen any revised docs, and I don't think we had any revisions to the documents to make. Does anyone have a different point of view on that question? If so, please speak now. Otherwise, we'll go on to individual director removal. And for that item, Mike Chargier had done a second iteration of the public comments based on the previous discussion. And I will invite him in a moment to take the floor of the meeting and to talk us through the changes and updates that have happened to that document. No, I don't see any hands. So, Mike, are you happy to go ahead and take us through that as is just appearing on the screen now?
Yes, sure.
Go ahead.
Okay, we can just, thank you. We can just move to page 3. And there weren't...
Everyone has their own scroll control. Yeah.
And there weren't any great revelations, but the first discussion was useful in that it highlighted that we have essentially a strong philosophical, I think, divergence of opinion. So actually on page 4, and it's mostly just reformatting is what I did. So I just made it a little more clear, you know, exactly what the difference is. Our second proposal basically took the approach that directors appointed by the SO or AC, that they kind of served at the pleasure of that SO or AC, and even though the SOAC had a document, the reason why they wanted them removed as long as they reach a threshold of 75% of their members, that director was removed. And the contra view in the minority, but still people are passionate about it, is that, well, that's, you know, not the intention that, pointed out that there's a code of conduct for board directors, and in fact they're expressly forbidden from acting in the interest of any particular community other than ICANN. So really, it should not be the case that they could be removed by one SO or AC, because that could lend itself to them being more of a parliamentary type system. So that's the basic, the fundamental difference of opinion that we have amongst the commenters. A second big area of divergence is whether or not those directors that are removed, they can be removed, you know, basically at will, you know, because the SOAC didn't like them, or should there the documented standard of behavior that they have to behave by, or is there going to be documented things that they could be removed for? And again, there it was pointed out that there is a code of conduct, but that was another strong area of divergence. And so when you look at this, I just put it graphically, and if we move to the options, it basically shows that there's kind of bipolar the comments, right? And the CCW, the proposal basically had kind of the least difficult level of difficulty in removing directors. However, there are multiple commenters that believe, you know, the threshold should be much harder, and area to explore for CCWG, you know, is there any trade-off in between, that if you want the full community to decide on whether a director removes cannot be done for something less than for cause? That's just something that you might want to look at. I think it might also, while it's not directly related, I think the temperature could be changed depending on the model that's eventually chosen. So that's something big to keep in mind. And finally, we might want to look at limiting the frequency and the number and stagger the time periods for the individual board removal, because there was some concern that you could have almost a de facto entire board if you did these things quick enough, and also you didn't want to get into a situation of serial director removal, or an SOAC was just one after the other rejecting their directors. Those are the changes. There weren't any really significant changes from the last document. I just the discussion was useful in that it really highlighted the areas of divergence.
Thank you, Mike, for that presentation. I've got a question just about the document. Right under your little chart at the bottom of page 4, there's a number 4 down there. It says limit the number and stagger time periods. Is that in the wrong place? Is that, or is it in the right place? Is the options related to number 3?
Yeah, it's, no, it's the wrong number. It should be number 2, right? There's only a couple of options.
Ah.
Number
1 okay.
makes 4. So that should be a 2, yeah. Very good.
Okay. Thank you. So once again, the question for this stock is whether this is a kind of a fair representation of what was in the comments, and we've had to go through that already, and the options for the CCWG to consider. Personally, I thought, as I said in the chat, that we'd had a bit of a consensus about that, that there would have to be an explanation, there would be a public process, and so on. But I personally am comfortable with the paper that's there. Hands up for a discussion on it. Mike, do you want to chair the discussion?
Sure. Caboose,
okay.
I see your hand is raised.
First of all, thank you very much for your presentation. As I told in the other sessions, I have not heard or seen any argument against the removal of individual board member to the entire community or by the entire community rather than by the designating SO and AC. I have not heard any argument against that. What is the problem of that? As I have mentioned, the collegiality is an important constitutional issue need to be respected. So still, I would like to know what are the difficulties that a board member individual cannot be removed by the decision of the entire community rather than designating authority or entity of that board member. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any more comments? I think Robin actually, Caboose, has been most articulate order of the CCWG proposal. That was our proposal to have just the SOAC remove them. Any other comments? Okay, I don't see any other comments. So I'll hand it
okay.
back to you.
Thank you, Mike. Sorry, I've got too many chat windows open. I appreciate you running us through that, and I think that we've got that fair basis there ready to go. If we've agreed that in terms of fundamental and regular bylaws, there isn't anything there that we need to discuss, if we've agreed that budget and AOC reviews, along with a second reading of today's discussion, will happen in our now definitely happening 9 October call, I'd like us to briefly consider item 4, and I'd like to give a heads up. The lawyers in the call mentioned the memorandum that they've just sent. They sent it on the chat. It has gone around the email list about the enforceability of a number of matters, which is a core issue for our model. I'd like to take the once we finish our agenda, I'd like to invite them to present it. So we'll make a decision on that after we've finished our other agenda items. Just have a little think about it. If you're happy for them to present that memo to us to get the discussion started on the questions they've raised in it, I haven't read the memo, I don't know what's in it, but then we can do that with the last 20 minutes or we can finish early. It's up to the group, my instinct. I'll share with you later. So in terms of any other work required to meet the 12th of October deadline, the way that I've been thinking about this as rapporteur is to take a kind of consolidated document to the CCWG for our work. And it would have a number of sections in it, one for each area of the public comments, and would largely replicate the areas of concern and consensus and divergence
just as is in each of these papers. So people have a sort of 20-page doc that sets out all of those key issues. And then I'd separate out into a document, a repetition of just the issues for a decision. And in that document, it would be good to have a bit of a sense for the CCWG about what the critical issues are. And if we can get that in time for the CCWG call next Tuesday, then the CCWG can make a decision informed by our analysis about what the key things are to focus on for Tuesday, for next Friday's meeting. And then that will hopefully encourage you all to read the public comments again that relate most closely to them. So I'm not aware of any areas of the report or public comments that have been skipped by us, so I'm not aware of any gaps. And that's my kind of central proposal for how we present what we've done back to the CCWG. I will write that down in an email and send it on the list, but if there are any immediate gaps that people have identified in the work, now would be a good time to hear them. And if you keep thinking about those, that's okay then, no speaking. Holly's just posted in the chat that she's got an early board meeting for another client at 1:30 a.m. So my question now would be whether we'd like to discuss or not. I think, you know, Chris has suggested not. I don't think it's fair to ask council to suddenly present on a memo that they've sent just a half hour ago at 1:30 in the morning, personally. And having a presentation on it is easier when we've had time to read it. So with your permission, folks, I won't drag Holly over the coals with that. And if you violently object, please tell me. But that leads us to our last items on the agenda. Item 5, is there another meeting? Yes, there is, on the 9th of October. On the 9th of October is tomorrow, I believe, for us in New Zealand. It's about 36 hours away. The meeting is proposed for 17:30 UTC, finishing at 19:30 UTC. It's an ugly time for some folks. It's the only slot that can work on that day. Confirming 17:30 on 9 October. We need that meeting to go through AOC reviews, content again, budgets again, and any second readings of issues that have been raised on this call. Are there any other items of general business or items to raise for that next call? And I, too, hope that it will be the last meeting of WT1 before Dublin. If it helps anyone, none of the material on that call will be new because it's all been discussed on previous calls at second readings for everything. Greg, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yes, I just want to note, I think I owe the WP1 a third and final version of the recall of the entire board analysis. So I'll get that to everyone before the Friday meeting.
Fantastic, thanks. So if on that call, that document, the budget government document that Jonathan Zook is working on, the AOC document, those three docs will be the ones that we need to discuss on that call. I suggest you'll read the memo that was sent by Sylvia Nether. It's Ken and Holly Gregory's name. The subject line is comparison of independent review processes. Review does go beyond review, so it's not just WP2. Please think about whether you think it's something that we need to have presented to us on our WP1 call. Caboose, I don't entirely understand your intervention on the chat. I know we haven't decided on the model. I know we haven't decided on the board removal. We we'll do a second reading of those ones on the next call. But we're not here to make decisions about those. We're here to make sure that we've reflected the public comments about them adequately and accurately. So unless there's any other business to raise, people, I think we're finished. Is there any other business items that anyone needs to raise? If not, thanks, everyone, and I'm pleased we're finished half an hour early. Let's keep that up. Caboose, now I understand your point. See you later, everyone. Thank you.